This is a CHLY podcast, listener-supported in Nanaimo, funded with support from the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Welcome to Students in the Know, CHLY's weekly news magazine program presented by our Student News Collective, researched and hosted by VIU students, and funded by the CRFC. Students in the Know is now on the air. I am your host, Matthew Hoffman, along with Mick Sweetman, Riley Lehman, and Spencer Medford. For our top stories, the BC government is offering help to renters with a new rent subsidy. We also hear from VIU students who talk about their experience with the COVID-19 pandemic and having to leave VIU Res to self-isolate at home. We will then provide our sports segment, entertainment news, and seven-day forecasts, then close with Reporters Playground. Now for our top stories.
Your top stories on Students in the Know.
The BC government is offering help to renters with a new rent subsidy in order halting evictions and by freezing rent increases. Mick Sweetman talks with Stephanie Smith, president of the BC government and service employee union, who are calling for a full rent and mortgage moratorium. Here is Mick Sweetman.
The BC provincial government is offering to help renters with a new rent subsidy in order halting evictions and by freezing rent increases. Tenants who qualify can apply up to $500 a month that will be paid directly to their landlord for the next 4 months. People who already receive rental subsidies will see those subsidies increase. Premier John Horgan says the details on how to apply are still being finalized, but admits the subsidies will not be available by April the 1st.
We can't guarantee it'll be in their pockets by April 1st, and that's why we're working, and Spencer's work was so critical in this respect. He had already developed relationships with tenant associations and organizations, as well as Landlord BC and other landlords across the province. So we want everyone to work together on this. As Selena said, you have a relationship with your landlord. Let's all hope that they're good relationships, and you're going to have to find a way to work this out together. We are going to get the resources into people's hands as quickly as possible, and I do also recognize that $500 does not seem like an enormous amount, but when you put it beside a $2,000 payment from the federal government and $1,000 from the province, as well as the other initiatives that we've brought forward to reduce costs for people over the past 2 years, I think we're in a place where we can manage this going forward.
I spoke with Stephanie Smith, president of the BC Government and Service Employees Union, representing 80,000 workers across the province, who are calling for a suspension of rent and mortgage payments during the pandemic.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
The BCGU, your union, put out a statement earlier in the month calling for the province to immediately suspend all mortgage and rent payments until the pandemic was over. Can you tell us why you thought that was important?
Originally, we had put out a statement on March 13th, and we were asking for a rent and mortgage suspension. But at the time, we were asking for employees who were sick or self-isolating or caring for someone who was sick. And, you know, I'll be honest, March 13th feels like decades ago. And now we are seeing the true impact in terms of the impact to workers who are not working anymore. So yes, we would change that call now to have a rent freeze, a mortgage freeze for anybody who has been impacted by this pandemic.
Well, when you say rent freeze, that's a phrase that Premier John Horgan used today. And the way he used it is just there'd be no rent increases. Do you mean something different?
Yes, sorry, I should have said a rent moratorium, if you will, that people should not be, while dealing with all of the other stressors that are happening in terms of their employment, you know, how they're going to make their food prescriptions, all of those other things, that they shouldn't also be concerned about losing their homes.
Today, the province did announce a plan for a $500 a month subsidy for the next 4 months that renters can apply for, and it goes directly to the landlord. What do you think about that?
Anybody who has ever been to a union convention knows that there are those who will stand up and say, you know, this is a good resolution, but it does not go far enough. And that's sort of our initial reaction in hearing the government's announcements today. Certainly, the cessation of evictions is a very, very good one. But a $500 rental supplement that goes directly to landlords leaves a lot of questions. And we know it's in conjunction with the other financial aid that is coming from the province and from the federal government as well. But there are a lot of details that are yet to be worked out, a lot of questions that I'm already getting from people around this. And so we're going to do what we always do. We are going to continue to push the government to do more to support working people and those who are vulnerable to make sure that they have the real understanding that their homes are being protected at this point.
What more do you think the government should do?
We live in one of the most expensive places in the country to live. And is this $500 rental supplement per unit? Is it per renter? How is someone expected to walk upstairs if they're renting in a basement suite, for example, and negotiate with their landlord how they're going to carry on throughout this period of time? At the end of the 4 months, could they potentially be owing thousands of dollars in back rent? We have offshore landlords that people are going to be needing to talk to about this. And so there's real concern, as I said, in terms of the details and what this actually means in terms of people being able to make their rent. The other question around the per unit per renter, so many people have to co-house because of the cost of living here in BC. Again, if it's only $500 per unit, what does that mean for the individual renters in that shared home?
As you mentioned, BC is currently suspending evictions until the public emergency is over. I know that your members actually work at the residential tenancy branch. Have you got any indication of any direction that they're getting around evictions? Because Horgan said there would be some exceptions.
I haven't had a chance to actually hear from those members at this point. And again, I think some of the challenges we see what other jurisdictions are doing, and apparently if it's a court-ordered eviction, that eviction will continue. I don't know in terms of our members at the residential tenancy branch what they are being directed to do. I do know that there are corporations and individuals who are really stepping up and understanding that the only way we're going to get through this pandemic is if we get through it together. I think there's just too many things left on the table at this point. And I was heartened to hear the premier say over and over that this is the beginnings, this is first steps, that they know that they may need to be making adjustments. And as the president of a union that represents 80,000 members in this province, in every community, many who are currently on the front lines providing front in-person services, who cannot work from home, many who have been laid off because their work sites have closed completely, we're going to continue to push government to do what they can to see all British Columbians get through this.
Do you have any advice for your members, especially those at the residential tenancy branch who are being maybe asked to process evictions?
So what we've done is we have actually set up a dedicated email drop box for questions that our membership have in relation to COVID-19, whether it's about their own personal concerns around personal health and safety, whether it's around policies that are coming through that people have questions at. So they can email our union at health@bcgu.ca.
So I just want to get back to the difference between suspending the evictions during the emergency and actually having some sort of rent and mortgage amnesty. What do you think is going to happen 4 months, 6 months down the line if people are just accumulating that amount of debt?
You know, Mick, I wish I had a crystal ball. I honestly don't know the answer to that. And it has to happen. I understand it has to happen at a number of levels. So there are those landlords, like the one that my daughter and her partner, they rent a suite. Those landlords are dependent upon that rental income. There are different types of landlords, and there are different agreements that are going to be negotiated between renters and landlords. And I don't have the answer to what is going to happen at the end of 4 months if all of a sudden the bill comes due. And so that's why I think that those are the questions that need to be answered.
Is there a danger, though, if people don't pay rent or they don't pay their mortgage, that that's going to contribute to a further problem in the economy? Because there's a lot of the economy in BC is tied up in real estate.
That's true. I'm not an economist. I honestly, I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not an economist. But like many others, I've seen other jurisdictions like El Salvador, France, others that have made decisions on how to protect the homes. I think the economic impact of having potentially hundreds of thousands of people in Canada suddenly in massive debt or homeless is probably just as problematic.
You're the president of a major union in BC. Have you been working with other unions in the province or maybe through the BC Fed?
Absolutely, we have. As a matter of fact, as soon as I'm finished speaking with you, I will be on a call with the BC Federation of Labor. There has been a lot of work between unions and understanding each of our sort of members' issues, but it's also happening on a national level. I was on a conference call this morning with our national union, NUPCI, and there were representatives from every province other than Quebec, where we don't have a component, but every province was on that call talking about what we can do to support working people, what we can do to do our part to not just flatten the curve, but plank it, and some of the concerns and issues that are being raised in the various jurisdictions.
So what do you see as the priority for the labor movement at this time?
I mean, I think there's two priorities. One is ensuring the health and safety and well-being of those members who, as I mentioned earlier, can't work from home. And, you know, there's been a lot of focus on retail, food and grocery workers, a lot of attention on healthcare workers, as there should be. But there are tens of thousands of workers who can't work from home. Social workers, people who work in group homes with adults with developmental disabilities, child care workers, corrections and sheriffs. I mean, I could go on all day. It's a huge, huge list of working people who don't have the capacity or simply by the nature of their job are considered poor and critical at this time. So making sure that their health and safety is being taken care of, working with those employers to make sure we're putting in policies and procedures that keep them safe. And then I think we have to turn our minds to, as we move through this, ensuring that there is a recovery, that there is an economic recovery, that those who were laid off are able to go back to work, that we keep working people working.
I just want to ask one question about the measure that happened earlier this week. The province of BC legislated 2 weeks of unpaid leave for anyone who has COVID-19 and can't work. They also added 3 unpaid days into the Employment Standards Act. Do you think that is a sufficient response?
We need people to be able to make the right decisions to flatten the curve. And that means that if you are feeling unwell or you have returned from a vacation or you have been in contact with somebody who may or may not have COVID-19, people need to be able to make the right decision. And that means not going to work. And if there are economic pressures, people are torn and they may not be able to make the right decision. So while 2 weeks unpaid leave with a guaranteed you can't lose your job for exercising that is, you know, at least people will know that there's job security in that, but there's no economic security in that. And so like many others across the country, the Canadian Labour Congress, the BC Federation of Labour, this has really shone a spotlight on why paid sick leave for all working people is so critically important. I don't think any of us would have imagined a pandemic of this level. For all of us, it's new. We are navigating our way through. But I think it has really shone a light on the cracks in our systems that leave us vulnerable.
Is there anything else that you really want to make sure people know about?
Yeah, I really would ask everybody who's listening, if you have the ability to be working from home right now, to please follow the provincial health officer's directions and stay home. Only go out if it's critically important, because we have to protect those workers who don't have that choice. And if we're going to be able to count on those critical services being available to people who need them, then we need to make sure that those workers stay healthy and safe.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Mick.
That was Stephanie Smith, president of the BC Government and Service Employees Union, on the government's plan to help tenants in British Columbia.
For CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, this is Mick Sweetman.
A new poll that was released yesterday shows a strong majority of Canadians are wanting the federal government to immediately halt rent, mortgage, and utility payments during the COVID-19 crisis. The results demonstrate people who support the new measures to protect them financially. 69% of Canadians expect to lose some income due to the COVID-19 outbreak. 72% of Canadians think the government of Canada should halt all rent, mortgage, and utility payments. 64% think that banks and financial institutions should not be allowed to charge interest on mortgages deferred because of COVID-19. These results are based on an online study conducted by Research Co. from March 30th to March 31st, 2020, among 1,000 adults in Canada. The poll was done on behalf of NUPGE, BCGEU, and North 99. It is the first poll on the subject that the firm has compiled since the crisis began.
your top stories on Students in the Know.
I am Matthew Hoffman, reporting for Students in the Know on CHOY Radio 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. As the COVID-19 pandemic has forced many people to stay in their homes, it has also made finishing university courses this year a challenge. We will hear from three Vancouver Island University students who will talk to us about their experience when it comes to continuing their studies in a different format and what it is like to have to self-isolate for them during this pandemic. We first hear from VIU student Erika Mbodo as she talks to us about her experiences with the COVID-19 pandemic, alternative learning delivery, and having to self-isolate. So Erika, are you still living at Vancouver Island University on res?
No, I'm not. I actually just came to the Northwest Territories on Monday.
Okay, and what was the reasoning for traveling back?
No, I was scared because the territories, there were rumors going on about how there was going to be like a lockdown maybe, and I was just scared that I wouldn't be allowed in because I was coming from a very infected province.
What sort of concerns do you have about self-isolating?
I do. I'm legally required to self-isolate here. Because the government of the Northwest Territories made a law saying that anyone coming out of the territory has to self-isolate for at least 14 days. Otherwise, you can get a fine of like $10,000 and you can face prison time.
And are there any concerns?
I mean, like for myself or for the territory?
For yourself.
I am a little concerned because, originally I was set to fly out on April 8th and I was just going through Nanaimo, Calgary, and then Calgary to Yellowknife. But then I had to rebook my flight sooner because then I had to go through Vancouver, which is, you know, obviously one of the most infected places in BC. So I was like a little scared going through all the airports. So I am scared that I am a carrier, but everyone has to stay 6 feet away from me. So I hope I don't pass on to anyone if I do.
And do you have any concerns about your continuing your education for the rest of the semester?
Oh, yeah. It was really mentally draining. The week that VIU shut down, obviously it was like a lot of like panic for everyone, I guess. Like not like hysterical, but like people who didn't live at, like in Nanaimo were like really concerned. Like even my parents or my friends who lived on the mainland, they were like concerned because we didn't know if VIU was gonna kick us out. We didn't know if like we were gonna be able to stay. And the pressure of having schoolwork on top of that was really hard because I'm like, dude, like my last priority right now is schoolwork. Like, because I mean, again, with the territory possibly being on lockdown, which we are now, but I was scared I couldn't go home. And my friends who lived in different parts of BC were like, oh my God, like, am I going to get to go home? And like, they had only given professors. So we got the email on Sunday that VIU shut down and they only gave professors until Thursday to figure out and rebalance their entire course for like literally every single class. So I'm like, you're only giving professors 4 or 5 days to rearrange that, which puts pressure on them. And then having pressure on them means pressure on us. And we already have a bunch of other pressure on us from like our housing and just basically our whole life, you know? Like, yeah, it was very, and still is like a lot of pressure to have schoolwork.
And how is the schoolwork going?
It's okay. I had emailed my prof and explained the situation to them, and like 2 out of 3 were pretty understanding. 3 out of like all of them gave me accommodations, like extensions and stuff. But I'm not a big fan of online lectures. You don't really get a lot of the same education as you would like if you were in the classroom. And a lot of people don't pay attention on them, including myself, honestly. Having to just, like, read everything in the textbook is so hard. I have, like, I'm in sociology right now, and one of my profs, he explains, so, like, he'll say something that we read in the textbook, but he applies it to his own experience in real life, which really helps because, you know, you have an actual example of something, like, and you can, like, understand it so much better. But you don't really get that, like, online. And even though it's a lecture, like, it's still kind of hard to absorb because there's just, like, I don't know, like, I can't really focus.
Was there anything else you'd like to mention?
You know, honestly, I don't think VIU handles it that well. I guess I can't really criticize them too much for it, because first time that this has ever happened, but I think there needs to be, like, you know, for the future, there definitely needs to be better policies put in place. for a situation like this.
Our second guest is Kalen Horseman from Vancouver Island University. He also talks to us about his experiences with the COVID-19 pandemic, alternative learning delivery, and having to self-isolate. Kalen, are you still currently on VIU residence?
No, I actually was able to get home yesterday.
What concerns do you have about self-isolating now that you're at home?
For me, I am actually part of the vulnerable population. And in back home, I'm in Squamish. And not a lot of people listen to the isolation warnings and distancing. And people are just kind of going about normal business like they would otherwise. And so that's my fear. And being so close to Vancouver.
Are there any concerns about your education?
Yes. My problem with VIU and the alternative method is that I'm in child and youth care. And so that's a very heavily communication, person-centric program. And it feels, in general, feels really thrown together because our professors haven't been given much time to prepare for it. But in my program, I'm finding that it's harder to grasp certain things say developmental theory that I'm learning because my professors who have been working in the child needs care and field and related fields for over 20 years have background information that they can apply to it, but we don't get that anymore. And it's really hard because I'm suddenly losing out on all these vital things of relating to people and their lives because now I have to be in my room.
How do you think VIU can make it better?
Honestly, my thing is that they should just give them the profs more time to properly address everything because they got something 4 days. And if I remember correctly, other schools, I believe, shut down earlier or at least gave profs more time. And right now it just seems super thrown together, chaotic, and a bit of a mess. And now it kind of feels at least in my eyes, my own education's kind of suffering. Because what went from challenging work is now just being kind of thrown together and made very easy to just kind of pass, which is fine. And I fine for everybody who just needs to pass if in their respective scenarios. But it also just seems very not thought out. I've kind of said that over and over, but just nothing seems thought out on VIU as a school's side.
So that's all the questions I have. Was there anything else you'd like to mention that we didn't go over?
Yeah, I remembered residences because out of my friend group, I was the longest in residences, and VIU kind of handled that pretty poorly in some ways. I guess it's worth mentioning that right now everything's up in the air for, say, a damage deposit and last month's rent for everyone that's moving out early because right now it's not the residences' side, it's VIU as a school's decision to give us our money back or not. Not while we're in a pandemic and everyone's trying to get home with their families and to just save. Especially because right now in res, they're also implementing social distancing measures. So say closing the common areas, 9 o'clock at night. But then it has the weird backwards effect where people who normally would say go out into the common area and make dinner at 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock. I have to go earlier, but then you're putting more people in a confined space, and it's a bunch of stuff.
Our third guest from Vancouver Island University chose not to provide her name as she talks to us about her experiences with the COVID-19 pandemic, alternative learning delivery, and having to self-isolate. So are you currently living on res at Vancouver Island University?
I am. I just moved in.
Okay, and how is it right now?
It was pretty quiet, and I think I moved out because I was kind of scared there was going to be a shelter in place because we got an email.
What kind of concerns do you have regarding self-isolating on res?
On res?
Yeah, on res, residential.
Oh, I moved off.
Oh, you moved off res. Oh, okay, you're not there anymore.
No, so I'm self-isolating now.
How is that going so far?
It's pretty good. I'm just at my family's house. We have a little cabin on the property, so I'm staying in there.
And do you have any concerns about your education?
I do. My family lives off the grid here, so I was having a lot of trouble with the online classes, and I spoke with four of my professors, and three of them were able to give me flexible grading system. So I was able to just do like a few more projects and I finished those ones. But my final professor didn't allow me to do this, and it's a 3-hour lecture, so I'm having a lot of trouble with that. Mostly because like the email like he sends us is like 3 hours worth of like online stuff, and I'm not able to really do it. So I don't really think that's fair.
Do you feel there's going to be a way for you to finish your courses?
I think so. I just got an email from the registrar, I think 2 days ago, saying there's like an ability or like a way to just do like a pass-fail sort of system, and I think I'll speak to my professor about that.
So I think that's all the questions I have. Did you have anything else you'd like to mention?
I think that's about it. I'm just not happy with the way VIU really finished with the online courses, because I don't think it was really fair to the students or the professors.
For Students in the Know on CHOY Radio 101.7 FM in Nanaimo, I'm Matthew Hoffman.
The Sports Report on Students in the Know.
The postponement of the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics has been a welcome relief for many athletes around the world, but also a hard pill to swallow. Vancouver Island swimmer Faith Nelson said she had 5 million emotions all at once when she heard the news that Team Canada was pulling out of the Olympics, the Nanaimo News Bulletin reports. She knew it was the right call, but her heart was heavy with the weight of missing her first summer games. 2 days later, the IOC officially postponed the games. I think with us pulling out, it made them realize people aren't prepared for it, and the athletes don't have anywhere to train at the moment, Nelson said. Nelson, 18, is fresh off a bronze medal at the 2019 Pan American Games in Lima, Peru, in the women's 100-meter breaststroke. She also earned a silver medal in the women's 4x100-meter medley relay. She was looking to keep the trend going at her first summer games in Tokyo. Now she'll have to wait until 2021 and keep up her fitness without facilities. Nelson and her team are using home workout programs, dry land training, and yoga, but without access to the water, it's difficult to stay in Olympic shape. Before the facilities closed, Nelson trained 8 times a week. However, the team has conference calls every 2 days. Nelson said there has been strong systems in place to check with the coaches about their physical and mental health. Her biggest focus is staying healthy for competition in 2021. Vancouver Canucks forward JT Miller was undeniably impressive in his first year with the team, as he racked up the most goals and points in his career, even in a season shortened by COVID-19. But the organization has been even more impressed with Miller's leadership and the impact off the ice, Ian McIntyre of Sportsnet.ca writes. On Wednesday, more than 3 weeks into the NHL shutdown amid the coronavirus pandemic, the Canucks made Miller the first player available to Vancouver media in a video conference. Quote, "The whole situation that it's even happening is the part to me that I still can't believe," unquote, Miller told the reporters from his North Shore home across the water from Vancouver. "It feels like the world has shut down for X amount of time." Miller also acknowledged healthcare workers and their bravery at this time, saying, "It's really special. It's something that definitely doesn't go unnoticed in my household. Obviously, it's life-changing stuff." General Manager Jim Benning spoke highly on Wednesday of Miller's leadership in the locker room, saying, "His willingness to try to help teach the young players, I think if we went through all the players in our group, our young players, JT had a hand in all of them improving this year." The Canucks will need more of Miller's leadership and scoring if the NHL decides to resume its season this year, as the team is right on the edge of a playoff spot. Finally, Wimbledon has been cancelled for the first time since World War II. The prestigious tennis tournament announced after an emergency meeting that Wimbledon would not be held in 2020. The tournament was scheduled to be played on the outskirts of London from June 29th to July 12th.
The Sports Report on Students in the Know.
Your entertainment news. It's been over 3 weeks since COVID-19 was declared a global pandemic, and with the virus dominating the headlines, it's easy to get depressed. Events have been canceled, which means people can't hang out with their friends. Companies and organizations, most recently the Vancouver Island Regional Library, are laying off workers, which means that it will be difficult to pay bills. And while people do recover from the virus, it's usually the deaths we hear about. This week, the entertainment industry lost several actors, including John Callahan and David Schramm, and musicians including Joe Diffie and Wallace Ronnie. However, it's important to remember that while things look dark on the surface, there are also stories of hope and good news out there. Here in BC, the provincial government announced funding for artists and cultural and arts organizations who have been affected by COVID-19. BC Local News reports. The Arts and Culture Resilience Supplement, a $3 million fund, will be administered by the BC Arts Council, providing up to $15,000 in early April. The Arts Council will also extend application deadlines and relax reporting requirements. Additionally, artists with incomes affected by the virus will be able to apply for a one-time payment of $1,000 through the new BC Emergency Benefit for workers. Unfortunately, there was no government help for the proposed Port Theatre expansion, Nanaimo News Bulletin reports. The City of Nanaimo announced that the Federal Provincial Investing in Community Infrastructure Program had denied funding for the project. The estimated cost of the project is $21.2 million. $600,000 have already been raised and spent on design, but the theater community had been relying on a $15.5 million grant from the government. On a more positive note, Gabriola Island artists have set up social media sites to stay connected and creative. Nanaimo News Bulletin reports. Musician Dina DeRoche started the Gabriola Island open mic group in mid-March. She said that the group started out as something just to occupy the locals and that she didn't expect it to be so successful. Gabriola Arts Council member Megan Osmond-Jones created the Gabriola Art Pandemic page with the Gabriola Palette People and Life Drawing Art Groups. She says that she is impressed with the success of the pages and how it has brought people together. We're getting so much information overload on everything else that's happening. I think it's good to have a space where you're just seeing beautiful things created by people you love. The Gabriola Island Open Mic page currently has over 500 members, while the Gabriola Art Pandemic page has almost 400 members. And that's your entertainment news.
Day forecast on Students in the Know.
This is Nanaimo's weather forecast, presented by Spencer Medford. Today, April 2nd, we have a high of 9 during the day and a low of 1 at night. The sky holds a mix of sun and cloud. The UV index is at 4, moderate, but don't let that number fool you into thinking it will be warm, as come night, there is a 60% chance of showers or flurries. Friday, April 3rd, we will have a high of 10 during the day and a low of 3 at night. There will be a mix of sun and cloud with a 60% chance of showers or flurries. I'm hoping for showers myself. Saturday, April 4th, there will be a high of 7 during the day and a low of 2 at night. The weekend will start off with heavily overcast skies and a 70% chance of showers. Sunday, April 5th, there will be a high of 9 during the day and a low of 2 at night. The heavy clouds from Saturday will continue all day without a chance of precipitation. Monday, April 6th, there will be a high of 12 during the day and a low of 4 at night. The gloomy weather of the weekend will finally clear up, and a mix of sun and cloud will be greeting us. Don't expect it to last, though, because lastly, Tuesday, April 7th, there will be a high of 10 during the day accompanied by cloudiness and a 60% chance of showers. With the kind of weather we should be expecting this upcoming week, I feel like the skies are pulling a late April Fool's joke on us. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, it was sunny and warm and felt like summer was coming. Now there's a chance of flurries. Here's hoping the forecast was a fluke and warmer weather is still coming.
No, no.
Reporter's Playground, a panel discussion opinion piece offering different perspectives on this week's stories. The opinions expressed in this segment are not necessarily the opinion of CHLY. Reporter's Playground on Students in the Know.
For Reporter's Playground, I would just like to mention how the school year is now coming to an end. We have one more week left and things have changed. I know it's hard for a lot of students. I know it's difficult for myself and other people, and as well as the professors during this pandemic. But I know we can continue to move forward. We can continue to get through this and continue to work towards our education. As a student, education is probably the most important thing to me right now when it comes to my personal goals. When I started coming to Vancouver Island University back in 2015, I didn't understand what I really wanted. But then over time, I was able to have an understanding of what I wanted to do as a profession and what I wanted to do as a career. And I was able to enroll into the Digital Media Studies program at Vancouver Island University. And then over time, I just became self-aware of how important school is and what it really means to me. And now that we are going through this pandemic, everything has changed and everything is online. Like I had a class yesterday. It was one of my last classes, getting a language certificate, and it was just heartwarming to be able to see my teacher and to be able to see the other students online. I know we can't see each other face to face, but we can still work together and work towards a goal, and we can be able to live in this temporary virtual world where we can focus on achieving our goals. I know that's for other students. It can be a lot difficult because a lot of those courses need a human interaction and to be able to have those lectures. I know with my video production course and my other courses, it does require to be outside and to be out in the open. But at this point, it's a matter of being creative and trying to find different ways where I can look into making a video that I can be proud of. I can be creative with, right? A lot of people right now are probably having a lot of trouble with not having work. It feels like everything is shut down, and we're kind of restricted on where we can go and who we can see. But over time, we can work together and we can flatten the curve, right? We can make sure to stay close with one each other, but at the same time, at a distance. It's been difficult being at home and self-isolating, but I am someone that is always outside. I'm someone that is always working towards being a part of the community and being focused, but I've kind of been able to focus on myself during this time and to reflect on what is important, and that is practicing things that can help the mind and help be positive. Anybody struggling, feel free to reach out to call a friend, call a family member, and even just try and say hi to someone. And the smallest things, like a simple hi or good morning, can change someone's mind on what they think, and it can put a smile on people's faces. I know when my friend, he sends me a good morning text every morning, right, or a good afternoon. I don't even need to say anything to him, but I can recognize that text, and that's a sense of connection, and I know he's caring, right? And I hope everyone that's listening can appreciate the people that are there for them. We will get through this, and we will be a part of the solution. Everyone in the world is going through this, and we can overcome this challenge. I'd like to thank Mick Sweetman for his reporting and Riley Lehman for providing us with our sports and entertainment news. I would also like to thank Sean DeRoche for writing the sports segment and Sophia Wasilenko for writing the entertainment segment and Spencer Medford for providing us with our 7-day forecast. Tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. for Students in the Know on CHY Radio 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. have been listening to Students in the Know on CHOY Radio 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. Tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. for your weekly dose of local, national, and international news. Students in the Know on CHOY.